The radar, sir. It appears to be jammed. Jammed. Raspberry. There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry. Lone Star!
This week in Near Apparent Spacement, for a change, we're shooting down rebels and helping a despotic regime. From 1994, we're playing Star Wars TIE Fighter by LucasArts for the PC. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the guy who thinks that while the Empire is bad, there are some bad people aligned with the rebels, too. It's Todd Brisket.
Three words that describe me. Majestic, renowned, thunderer. Also, those are three words that'll help you get into the game, because this is a classic DRM game in the PC.
Oh, yeah. Something that's come up quite a bit lately. And our other co-host, he made the Kessel Run in the time it takes a Wookiee to visit the Mos Eisley Cantina from Tatooine. It's Yul Houser.
At the Battle of Yavin, rebel terrorists, aided by spies and traitors within the Empire, struck a cowardly blow at the new symbol of Imperial power, the Death Star.
Cowardly blow. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes, and when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypppodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YPP homepage, ypppodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. Check out the past Star Wars games we've covered. Super Star Wars with Beanie in December 2015. Rogue Squadron, December 2016. Shadows of the Empire with Beanie again in December 2017. And Dark Forces in May 2018.
A lot of good Star Wars.
Yes, a lot of swears. A lot of swears. Dark Forces, friend of the show, Apple Shampoos, favorite inferior Doom clone.
Right. I can't believe he just likes that reskin Doom game.
Mm.
Oh, well. Turn up the lights, buddy.
Now you're just teasing him. This week's game is Star Wars TIE Fighter. Released in July of 1994, this is a sequel to Star Wars X-Wing from February 1993. Both games are space flight simulators and space combat vidya games, one from the perspective of the Rebels and one from the perspective of the Empire. TIE Fighter takes place shortly after the Empire's victory at Hoth and bridges all the way up to the last battle of Return of the Jedi, although it has all been made non-canon by Disney now. So, Todd, as the master PC, as the PC master race guy, what do you think of this one? Any experience with it?
Hmm. Ooh, boys. Hey. Let me tell you. TIE Fighter, the Star Wars. This is a game people love.
Oh, yeah.
They love this game. Like, out of all the Star TIE Fighter, X-Wings and TIE Fighters, and all the other Star Wars games, this is the game that people bring as the top tier of the Star Wars games. I actually do not have any experience with it or any in this series, even though this was prime PC game point in my life. I was playing many a PC game at this time in my life when this came out in 94, around mid-90s, huge into the PCs, the Warcrafts, Command and Conquers, all that stuff. Other flight simulators, but I never got my hands on the Star Wars TIE Fighter games, which is unfortunate because playing it this week for the first time, I enjoyed it. It was, for what it is, it is great. It is basically a flight simulator in Star Wars. That is what it is.
And, right, but since you're in space, you're going all over the place. There's no
all
up
over
or down.
That place.
You're going side to side.
Side to side. I mean, this is one of the big complaints that purists of space sims disagree with. Is that physics in the Star Wars verse is more akin to a dogfight on the Earth where you have gravity. And if you're doing a real dogfight in space, you'd be floating all over the place, not be able to to even turn your vehicle.
Yeah.
It's not true space flight. This is you're talking about. This is basically an earthbound dogfight in space.
You're talking about the movies.
The movies. The documentaries. Not even the movies. Even this game, right?
Well, no, because like in this game, you're flying. Like I said, you're flying all over the place. Usually,
you don't have a boundary to the south that you're going to crash into.
There's usually just like a cluster of ships that you're kind of floating around near. So there's like at least like some sort of reference point. But if you're playing this, you can get lost kind of easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got your radar. You can pause and look at the map, so you can always find your way back. But you can get turned around pretty quick in this. And just the blackness of space with no direction.
Yes, I dealt with that quite a bit.
There's flight sim wise, there's a lot going on. It's not if you compare it to one of the classic flight sim type games, it's nothing compared to that. But still, in this game, there is every single button on your keyboard does something.
Right. So when you say flight sim, are you talking about just like the straight up like Microsoft Flight Simulator or just like other?
Exactly. I mean, there's some classic dogfight games where it's more like a simulator.
I would think it would be more akin to that because this is not like a flight simulator. Like all those buttons are doing stuff, but it's more geared towards like shooting down stuff.
Sure, you're not peeling up your landing gears or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No landing gear to be seen.
No landing gear to be seen.
There's nothing to land on.
Just a little arm that got out of the Star Destroyer to caress you back into the ship.
Right.
Inside now that
guide,
ship.
Guide you right in. So did you actually play this one, Todd?
Did I play it when I was a kid? No.
Or this week?
This week, yes, of course. Of course. Okay. Hey.
Look, man.
Like we've said many times on this here sode, which is our motto, we may not be experts, but we are professionals, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. I just had to make sure. Because I did not play it this week, because I played it a whole bunch as a young nerd.
Whoa, we should have thrown to you first.
This was, that wasn't my decision. This was right up my alley. As a Star Wars lover, a PC haver, and a joystick non-haver, this was quite the game to play.
That's one where I had a one-up on you, and when I was a kid, I did have a stick. I had a stick because I had a few other flight sims that I enjoyed to fly around.
Yeah, this
was
like the only game I probably would have used it for, so we never got one. So I was like flinging that mouse around like real quick to try to turn around a lot. But man, I played the hell out of it.
Oh.
Like I got to fly a TIE fighter. I got to shoot other ships. Like it was amazing.
I'm a little worried that you wanted to fly that TIE fighter so much, though.
We didn't have X-Wing, Steve. We had TIE Fighter. And the reason we had it is it came in like one of those giant like 20-game packages that you get when you order your PC off QVC or something.
Yeah, it comes with a package of games,
I lucked out. TIE Fighter was in there. It was very fun.
Hey, 1 or 2 years before, you would have had TIE Fighter. 1 or 2 years later, you would have had X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
VTF. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got this, your parents got the computer, 20 PC games, and a Martha Stewart crockware set from QVC at the same time.
It was the cookbook. It wasn't the
get Encarta 95 with that?
I'm almost, we for sure had Encarta. That was probably one of the 20 quote unquote games that came with it. I guess it was just a software package. But
hey, there's moving pictures. It's a game.
You can click around. I don't know who was selling me this, but I don't think they work for QVC. But
Tom Soprano.
Yeah, Tom Soprano. World famous selling guy. But yeah, I mean, just being able to like... see all the ships in motion and fly around and see them all. Just looking at them. That's all I needed. It was great.
Look at those. Look at those.
Look at that ship. I've seen that before in the old Star Wars. Yeah. And a whole bunch of like EU ships that I'd never heard of were in here too.
Mm-hmm. This is an EU game. This is
very
or
friendly.
As they say in the modern times, this is a Legends game.
This is a
Star Wars Legends
Get
game.
Get that crap out of here. It is not canon. It is not,
it's not
in
canon.
The show.
It's not dogma. It's not
in the show. It's not any of it.
It is not in the show.
I mean, right off the bat, Admiral Thrawn's thrown in. He's
right there, Thrawn.
Yeah.
But Thrawn is now canon because he's been in the cartoon series.
Oh, he's in like one of those. Okay. And they're
Thrawn canon. Thrawn is Dagama.
They're in
and
the show.
Canon.
They're literally in the show. Thrawn. Thrawn's literally in the show. Okay.
Literally
in
the show.
In the show. He was always a favorite of mine. I mean, he was a fun character. Yeah, I read a few of those books. I wasn't like obsessed with it, like Absham.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really a big EU fan. Just it's just fan fiction. But Thrawn's a cool one. Yeah. He always pops up.
It's so weird, all those salacious scenes in those fan fiction books.
Yeah, what about that scene?
What about Thrawn? That scene?
What, when Vader walks in on Thrawn, he just turns around, just completely nude. Doesn't make sense.
I like
Thrawn.
That's odd.
I see you're all blue. you need to put filter on that.
Oh yeah,
post production. Put a Vader filter on that.
Yeah, put a note there. No, that you did that live. Sorry, I think Steve was trying to say something before.
Oh, I just like how the books get more and more bizarre. Like there's an assassin, Mara Jade, who can kind of use the Force, and then her and Luke end up getting hitched.
Yeah, they have babies.
Yeah, but this is
space babies.
Space babes.
Ooh, nice.
This is after Luke falls in love with some Jedi that got stuck in a computer in a
Wait,
ship.
What?
Yeah, there's like it's like one book, but you can tell they're like all of these are done by different authors who don't really give that much of a crap like what the previous author did. So it's like never acknowledged again. So
yeah, that's another thing I didn't like. There was like 50 different authors just flinging out crap at this Star Wars franchise.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh yeah, there's clones of the Emperor.
That was just the worst.
Like, yeah, all over the place. And it's like
Emperor was a great villain. How do we make a good one? Let's clone the Emperor.
Yeah, let's just they do that. Okay. And then the other thing they lean on is the like there's a plant that negates the Force or something.
It was
like
an alien race.
Was it?
Like people like strapped to their back to
what?
To give like a bubble where people couldn't use the Force. It was like kryptonite. It was the dumbest thing.
But it was people.
Well, it wasn't people. Mm-hmm. They were like little animals, like little animal alien things.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Something with a Y. I don't know. Hang on. Mm-hmm. I might be able to find this on Wikipedia.
check the legends section of Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah. Let's say Force denying alien? Let's see if Google gets me that one. Oh, citizenship denied. Alien relieved of service in armed forces.
Huh, oh, no. Okay. Oh, no.
That's not what I'm looking for. Alienage classifications and the Equal Protection Clause. I don't think that's it. Maybe I put Star Wars in front of this. Let's try that.
That might be important.
Yazal-Amir.
Need some Wikipedia-ing music here?
It's a Y... Oh, perfect. This is the Yazal-Amir.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You know, the easy to pronounce alien that they threw in some random ass book.
Yes. Y-S-A-L-A-M-I-R.
They're like little lizards. I don't know. But people like made backpacks and like carried them around so Jedi couldn't fight them.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Oh,
look
at a little picture here. That's cute.
Little cute little lizard.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
But so Thrawn's in this. He's cool. So this is according to the opening crawl of the game, this is post Empire Strikes Back, pre Return of the Jedi.
Well, right. I mean, I think it starts out post Hoth, which is mid Empire.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Empire. We don't know how post Hoth we are, but the rebels are scrambling.
Yes.
Those terrorists. You know,
one of the reasons people love this game, is because, I mean, not because you're fighting for the bad boys. You can fight for the bad boys in any old game, But this one,
I don't know about
they
that.
Do all the world building around it to make yeah. it feel like you are the good guys. You exactly. are trying to help the galaxy. Like yeah, the first few missions. First uh-huh. few missions are like this, you know, we have smugglers that are smuggling illegal goods across borders. You need to inspect their vehicles.
Right.
Right.
That's the very first mission.
Just playing a good guy, right?
Yeah, you're a space cop.
We have some refugees that need help on this planet that has a civil war. Go help the refugees.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, that's a side effect.
In Star Wars, the Empire is just the government. Like, so
it's
there's
just government, yeah.
There's just people working for the government.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a Clerks bit. Let's not do a Clerks. Sorry. Clerks 2, even worse.
Oh, is that a Clerks 2 bit?
It's a Clerks 2 bit.
Oh.
Yeah, they talk about blowing up the Death Star, like killing like yeah. thousands of contractors.
And, yeah, and their families live there too, probably.
They're just installing plumbing, and they just get blown yeah. up.
just trying to buy some bread.
Just trying to make some credits, guys.
Yeah, make some space credits.
Just trying to make a few credits. Feed yeah. my family some blue milk.
Needs to buy some dehydrated meals that they'll pour some water on.
I mean,
turn into brownies.
I think they even call the rebels in this game terrorists. They're,
yeah, that's what I mean. I said it in the beginning. That's right in the opening crawl when they talk mm-hmm. about. The Death Star getting destroyed by the terrorist scum. A cowardly blow at the Death Star.
Do we have any proof, really? Hey, think about it, fellas.
Oh, boy.
What is the proof that, like, the Emperor and the Empire, are they bad? Why are they bad?
It's probably when Darth Vader killed all those kids in Episode 3. That might
but
be
that was just, like, one dude going on a psychotic rampage.
Right, and then
you shouldn't represent an entire nation.
What one dude joining up with mm-hmm. pretty much the president of space?
Right, but I mean, every nation has their nut jobs.
Mm.
Every yeah. evolved modern nation has their nut jobs.
Right.
Well, I mean, right. That one has two, and they control the government.
True, but I mean. The guy right below him, the Secretary of Education, what's his? I mean, is he a bad guy? He just wants to help get the kids educated.
We don't know. They shut down the Jedi Academy. Is anyone going to school anymore?
Well, there's no more Jedi, but I think other people are going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they still need people to, like, fix
Tusken Raider school? I don't think so, Steve.
Well, no, but people in the Empire... I suppose, might have schools. Although yeah. it's kind of, we never really see, like, the Empire homeworld in any of these movies.
Well, it's Coruscant. There's no homeworld, it's just the government capital.
Yeah, but doesn't Coruscant get, like, blown up real good?
No.
What am I
Alderaan?
Yeah, I'm thinking of Alderaan, never mind. Yeah.
Alderaan's a peaceful planet, they have no weapons.
Just nice, lush, green planet.
Never mind.
Coruscant is like the industrialized factory yeah. planet.
It's the capital mm-hmm. of
where
space.
They have government buildings.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like most of these planets we go to, they just have one thing or one dominant industry, and then
yeah.
Well, we as
which viewers. Is weird, you know. This yeah. this is a stereotype of sci-fi. That every planet has one thing, like the
you mean
planet,
fantasy,
or fantasy. Like mm-hmm. every planet has its own thing. Like I'm even going to this hot new indie property coming out called Dune, directed by Denis Villeneuve. This Dune show, the entire planet is sand. That is not possible, right? You have to have like mm-hmm. polar caps and stuff. You have to have something going on.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that yeah.
Yeah, no, it's also common, like, we...
Hang on. Isn't Mars all sand?
Yeah, but
yeah, but you still have
that.
Polar caps and storms and stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's not just one climate yeah. throughout the entire planet.
Yeah. No, it's also a common thing, I think we've commented before, about RPGs and, like, adventure games where you have, like, oh, it's the cold region, the hot region, and, you know, you have, like, I can't even think of more examples.
In the plains, in the forest.
Yes.
But at least that's like one planet with different...
It's one planet, but in, usually in RPGs, it's like, oh, walk 3 feet to the left, and now you're in the frozen mountains.
Yes, there's no like bleed over area. Unless it's, I will say modern games are slightly better at transitioning. Like Horizon Zero Dawn actually feels
here's
like
an example
world.
Of one of our favorite on the show, the YPB show. One of our favorites, the Mass Effect.
Oh,
are people going to get mad we're not talking about TIE Fighter?
Asm Effect.
I'm just curious.
You know, one of the things, one of my peeves with that game, that series, is you land on a planet, that is the planet. Asm Effect, yeah. You land on the snow planet, that entire planet is snow. There's nothing else. You land on a sand planet, it's all sand. Like, where's the biomes in these things?
It's also weird because if you scan the planet from space, it mentions like different atmospheres, but then if you actually land, it's like, nope, just that one area. Oof. Yeah. So yeah, TIE Fighter, I guess we should talk about it. I don't know.
How'd you like it, Steve?
This was my first experience with it this week.
Okay.
And like many of these older PC games we play, I found it really clunky and hard to play.
Yeah, it is called a challenge. It's rough around the edges.
It's got a learning curve.
Not really because of the production. I mean, the production's all Star Wars. Like, you start out in the ship. Sure. You're like, hey, I'm signing up. I'm Mr. Pilot, hey,
you
man.
You got the sounds. Yeah. You got the music right off the bat.
Yeah,
you
know it's all there. It's LucasArts. It's fully licensed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's the menus are a little clunky. Like, you're not really sure where you're supposed to go. And this is just, like, trying to get into a damn ship. They at least give you, like, the simulator to try to get used to stuff. But, yeah, once you get started, there's a lot of controls. A lot of stuff to figure out, a lot going on.
Yes, I went to the keyboard shortcut page.
Yeah, not quite a shortcut.
And yeah, it is an entire page of just stuff. And I'm like, man.
I mean, generally from my experience playing this week, you do have a few main buttons you hit, right? You have your controls where you're flying to. You have your shooters. You have your throttles. Those are the big ones.
Throttles are nice.
Yeah, you're throttling down, throttling up. And other than that, you have, because these are TIE fighters, they're not as, I would say, not as diversible as a, or not as, I don't know, say, like,
I'll let you finish here.
Strong.
Ah,
strong.
Durable?
Durable, there you go.
Diversible?
Durable as an X-Wing. Like, you have TIE fighters, you have to switch between shields and weapons at all the time. Like, if someone's firing, you switch over to shields. Switch over to weapons.
They have one AA battery powering everything, so you have to make sure you change over to weapons. So that's important.
That is the Empire's tactic, is not to have a lot of good pilots. It's to have millions of bad pilots in weak ships.
Yeah, that's the thing. Crash. The ships those barely even have shields. They're just all there. Strength in numbers. Yep.
So yeah, I found this one kind of clunky to play, but I don't know. It's like one of those games where I could see like, oh well, if I had this, you know, I was around 10 when this came out. Like I probably would have played this and figured it out. But nowadays,
oh for sure, yeah.
It's like,
if I had this one when I was a kid, this would be one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah. If you just had tons of time to watch Star Wars and then play TIE Fighter like I did, it was pretty great.
Yeah. But the issue I had was, like, it's hard for me to be like, oh, well, I can't compare this to Rogue Squadron, which came out many years later, about 4 years later. But I just can't separate it in my head. Like,
oh, Rogue Squadron is incredible.
Yeah.
It's also a different style of flying in the old Rogue Squadron, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's still, like, that's more fun to me, doing Rogue Squadron, or even...
It's more arcadey, or arcade-like.
Yeah, even the little fly-em-ups in Shadows of the Empire. Like, that was my jam back in the day. Like, the little, like, the crappy little space stages they had, I would just replay those ones. So I don't know. I can recognize that this was a good game for the time, but I'm just not into it now.
I mean, think back to what are good Star Wars games that we've played? What is a Star Wars game that exists that you would play in these times? Shadows of the Empire would come up. TIE Fighter would come up. Dark Forces. Those are
Fighter really would, but Rogue Squadron for sure is still fun.
Rogue Squaddy?
Rogue Squaddy is a classic.
I mean, in the pantheon of Star Wars games, there's not too many that are, you know, all-time greats, classics of all time that people would just pick up and play. Rogue Squaddy, I think, that does fall in with one that people just pick up and play.
Mm-hmm. I've done it. I've still got the cart. I could go look at it right now, but I won't because I'm doing a pod with my boys.
Well, yeah, I think Rogue Squaddy is definitely the easiest one to just pick up and play, and it's still fun. Like Shadows of the Empire, I have sentimental value about that one, but
I do too.
It's clunky. Like
didn't we determine that was a bad game on that episode, or is that just my opinion?
I think it's what you went into it thinking it was bad, and then we both played it and realized it was bad. I think that's kind of how it shook out.
Thinking back, that's been a few years. I mean, we went over it up top of the show. Go back, scrabble back in your feed there and listen to what Steve said up top. But we did it a few years ago.
Scrub. Shadows was
Scrub back.
December 2017.
Okay, so it's been a few years. I just remember greatest thing about Shadows, that Hoth stage, that when you're flying around in the Hoth, tying up those AT-ATs, the AT-ATs. That's
probably something you said like 6 times in the episode.
Yeah, but the rest of the game.
How good the hostage was.
The rest of the game. Hey, got a drop for you. Rest of the game.
Trashy antennas.
Trash.
Trash.
Trash. Good job. Good job.
I mean, the
I don't appreciate using my voice for that opinion, but
I mean, the problem is that hostage is like the first or second stage.
So the first. It is right off the bat.
Yeah. So rest of the game is it's a little tough. Especially anything that's like the third person perspective where you're not in a ship.
The over the shoulder running around fake Han Solo running around Echo Base.
Dash
not
Rendar.
Not as good.
Kyle Katarn's Dash Rendar. Who are you? Actually, that brings up a good point. Who are you in this game? You're nobody. You're a faceless.
You're yourself. You name
yourself.
You're
a faceless Empire creep.
You're just some freaking pilot. One after the other. They don't care. Cloaked figure doesn't give a crap what your name is.
I name myself Ace Flying Man.
Oh.
You must have let them know who you are right off the bat.
You must have done your call great signal. In this game.
Yeah. I also noted I started the game on medium because I could not figure out how to lower the difficulty. Is there only medium? Is there a hard mode? I would not want the hard mode. But
there are difficulties, yeah.
You know, I just saw a news alert that in Top Gun 2, Tom Cruise's son's call sign is Ace Flying Man.
Wow.
What are the odds?
Incredible.
Well, I should probably touch on where this one is now. TIE Fighter was followed by a third game, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. In April 1997, and X-Wing Alliance in February 1999. Both games were well-received, but the flight sim genre was kind of falling out of favor by this point. Also, the series was sort of cannibalized by other Star Wars series like Rogue Squadron and Battlefront.
Mm.
Like, they're different, obviously different games, but if you want to fly around some Star Wars ships, there's other options now.
Some of the Battlefronts have the space flying aspect in them now.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the simulator. Although it's not, those are more arcadey versions of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't have to adjust your shields as much.
You just point and
shoot.
No one wants that anymore.
I've actually not played any of the Battlefronts just because I don't know. I feel like whenever I read something about it, it's just people complaining about microtransactions.
Well, those are the modern Battlefronts, the Battlefront 1 and 2 in the past few years, which I'll go out on a limb and say, great games, great games. If only they made it more accessible. Like, They have such high production value in those games. The quality of the visuals in those games are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They just need to make it more accessible for the everyday man to hop in and, and shoot around.
So is there, what is the old school Star Wars real-time strategy game? Because I know I had that one.
Something of the Empire, being, or something like that.
I remember being so frustrated with it when I was a teenager trying to play, because I couldn't even figure out how to like do things. So that's one of the few games I actually bought and paid near full price for, and then just did not play.
Star Wars Empire at War.
Ah, could be that, yeah.
Which one was like the RTS one?
That one. Empire at War.
That's what I thought. Okay. Did we? Sorry.
Definitely was not Masters of Terras Kasi.
No, that was like a fighting game. It was like a Mortal Kombat.
No, it's Star Wars Empire at War, which I do have that one. I've actually not played it yet, which it seems like it'd be it's fantastic for a Star Wars concept game. Star Wars is one of those series where you could apply any genre to it and it'd be good. Like, I'm waiting for that Telltale game, little story click 'em up.
Are
you're
you
just
though?
some fella?
Don't fella wandering just around. Falling off.
Yeah, waiting for Telltale, you'll be waiting a while there, Todd.
Mm.
Yeah, that might not happen.
Mm. Mm.
They kind of went out of business.
Hmm. Hmm.
They went lightsabers up.
What you're saying, Steege, is there's an opening in the market that we could jump on.
Yes.
To make a Star Wars Telltale game.
Ooh.
Some people might even say that Telltale is now the black sheep
of the video game industry.
I'm the black sheep of the family. I don't know. Why are they the black sheep? Just because
some
they went under? That's actually like the majority of game companies have gone defunct by this point.
The black it's sheep like, is not like
the
EA.
The black sheep is, yeah, one that is succeeding. Which
Yeah, that's true. Week after week we do this, and I'm like, oh, this game
I might,
company
you might
died
say
out in 94.
That mm-hmm. Masters of the Terras Kasi is the black sheep of the Star Wars game series.
I think it is, really, because that's the only like true one-on-one fighting that they have.
Yeah.
Even Empire at War, that's one of the black sheep because it's one of the only real-time strategy games that they have.
Really? Oh, there it is.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you could say that.
Mm-hmm.
Some we have.
We may have just have. Well, moving us along here a little bit, Todd, did you find a most best this week?
Oh, you know what? I think we like this game pretty well. I think we appreciate what it does, how it was. We know what's going on there. But I do have two reasons why Star Wars TIE Fighter for the PC is the most best game of all time. All right, the first one's from an...
So these, just to be clear, these reviewers would not consider TIE Fighter the black sheep of the Star Wars family.
No, they definitely... This is not a black sheep of the family, which is why that drop is not playing right now.
Because,
This first one's from an anonymous who titled this one of the best Star Wars Sims in February of 2003. And the anonymous reviewer wrote, I had this baby when it was 3.5-inch discs. And I loved it. After some time, one disc get damaged and I actually lost the game. Now, enhanced for Win 9X, you don't have to worry for configurating audio or damaged discs. It just play excellent. And with the 3D add, you get better graphics. It just couldn't be better. 5 stars.
Oh.
Okay. That was confusing.
I mean, that's explains it all why it's... one of the most best games of all time. All right, the next one is titled "In Being So Reflective of DOS That OS Was Like a Wife Who Abused Me."
Oh boy,
And it's written by somebody named Dragon in December of 2013.
Comma, heart of.
And Dragon wrote, "What can I say? Do I give away my age in being so reflective of DOS? That OS was like a wife who abused me and was so complicated, but I still loved her at the time anyway, LOL. And this program brings back such memories of really great gaming in a new era, in the dawn of time, so to speak. It is really such a cool and immersive program. Anyway, Darth's wife, Ela Vader, said their relationship has had its ups and downs. What else is new in marriage? LOL. 5 stars.
That is a baffling review. Ela Vader?
Yeah, Darth's wife, Ela Vader.
Okay.
Is that canon?
I do not believe that is in the show.
Or Dogama? Where it's not in the show. It's not in the show?
Where is in the show? Don't think so.
not in the show.
Really, cracking yourself up this week.
I'm glad we do this show for everyone.
Yeah,
the show's for all listeners.
I just like the syllable work this week. It's really impressive.
It's working out pretty well.
Yeah. was that the last most best?
Yeah, just the two this week.
All right, I have just one-star Yelp review. Okay. It is of Star Wars: Secrets of the Empire in Orlando, Florida, in Disney Springs. And this one says, "Horrible experience. We show up to our reserve time and are told we have to wait 1.5 to 2 hours because, hey, is Disney, and that's what they do. It wouldn't be Disney without some kind of wait. Not to mention you have to park 1 mile from the place and wade through the millions of people who just seem to wander around aimlessly at these Disney venues. Too bad. It looked like a lot of fun, but I made them refund my money." And that's Dana from Littleton, Colorado.
Mm. What kind of establishment is this?
Like a ride? It doesn't really look like that. It just looks like kind of like a memorabilia museum. Oh, wait, no. The other review says it is a virtual reality experience, and they gave it 5 stars.
Whoa. Oh, but this is not that segment.
But by the way, 2 tickets, $78. So that is that's pretty steep.
Well, that's $29 a piece.
$78 for 2 tickets.
Hang on a second.
Hey, man, they have
$39 a piece.
If you pay an extra $10, you get to go to the Thrawn room.
Oh, do you? That's a special exhibit you have to pay extra for?
Mm-hmm. You can pay $15 extra, and they take pictures of you in the VR gear.
Oh, God.
Ooh, wow.
I don't know why you would want a picture of that.
That sounds horrible.
Of just, oh, for $15, you can get a picture of you in the VR helmet.
I think I saw someone post pictures of this, like, in my Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm remembering it now. I think I blocked it from my memory.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? Secrets of the Empire?
Yes. So the 5-star review of this doesn't sound that bad. As soon as I flipped my helmet visor down, I was in the Star Wars universe 100%. I looked at my daughter and she was a stormtrooper.
Yeah, it's in downtown Disney. I definitely know someone who went to this.
Yeah, downtown Disney.
And that, guess what? You know why I remember? Because they got pictures of them in the VR gear. That made me remember.
Well, now you know it cost them $15, but
I thought it cost $78 for 2 people.
It does, or $39 per person.
Yeah, $28.
listen, we're not math majors. At one point, I was holding off stormtroopers while my daughter tried to figure out a light sequence in order to open the door so we could escape. The final confrontation with Darth Vader.
Was a stormtrooper.
Maybe it's like
S'wars 4 when they are in disguise.
Yes, it says it follows along with the Rogue One storyline.
Oh.
K2SO guiding you along.
K2SO.
Old Alan Tudyk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Steve the Pirate. Veteran character actor.
He is a veteran character actor.
Yeah.
A lot of characters, that guy.
Oof. Well, Kiel, I'm not sure if you got a manual for this one or if you just went on memories from days back.
You know, it is funny. I'd say it's very rare that I don't find a manual, yet every week you're not sure if I found one. I find like your lack of confidence is kind of. Well, I don't know.
Are you disappointed in my lack of?
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I did find a manual for this. It would be hilarious if I didn't, but after that, it's unfortunate because we've done two PC games in a row. So the manual pickings have been slim. Because mm-hmm. this isn't great. It's a lot of words. So right off the bat, not fun. It's mostly words and screenshots. I mean, we talked about the controls earlier. There are a lot of pictures of keys explaining what they do. I mean, that's a bad sign right off the bat. There's like a little blurb about, like, you're a new pilot, you're here to serve the Emperor, blah, blah, blah. So not much fun. There is little fun tidbits where they have little translations of like the glyphs that I guess serve as the alphabet.
It's the DRM, yeah.
In the Empire, which is, I guess, the DRM, as you say. It does talk about the DRM in the manual, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
they're like, hey, you need this. Don't throw it away.
Sounds meta.
Yes, it's very meta. Yeah, they got like pictures of the cockpits and stuff like that, but really it's mostly just a lot of words. So in the end, here's a fun tidbit. This manual was written by Wayne Klein and designed by Shepard Associates. So, I mean, Wayne did a lot of writing for this, so I can't really put the weight of this on him. So I got to say, Shepard Associates, bad job designing this manual.
Yeah, Wayne just provided a lot of the base writer. Content.
Yeah, a lot of words. So he did a lot of work on this.
Shepard Associates were the ones that should have thrown all those pictures in.
Yeah.
That they did not.
They did not. So I got to give this 2 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Ah.
Okay. So that's 2 in a row for 2 different PC manuals.
I mean, it is a PC manual. So
from 1994, yeah.
What I do like, I did pop open this manual myself. They have every single, an entire page, four pages of just buttons. What do all these buttons do? All these buttons.
Like there's just pictures of keys with like what they do next. It's just like, oh my God. It just makes my brain turn off. I think it's 6 pages. Yeah. Seven. Sorry.
Jeez.
Nope.
Well, I was counting 2 at a time. Yeah, it's up to 7 pages, 7+.
Yeah, 8 pages in a row. And that's not including all the other times they point out what the keys do. So, yeah. Not fun.
Oof. Well, let's move along then. Todd, were you able to rate this on the DuckTales scale?
Sure. I did my calculations previous to the show, and I am not coming up with a number off the top of my head right now. So here we go. I'm going to give Star Wars TIE Fighter a DuckTail rating on the DuckTail scale. The DuckTail scale, for those who are not aware, has 2 primary factors. One of those factors, replayability. How likely am I to replay it in this modern day and age that we live in? The other primary factor is nostalgia. How nostalgia am I for this game? Hang on a second.
You
have not mistaken. No.
Right. How nostalgic am I for this game? First of all, nostalgia. Hey, man, This is Star Wars right here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
This is Star Wars.
You know exactly what you're saying.
Except for that I've never played this game before in my life or any in the series. You know, it felt good playing this game this week for the first time. It felt like a game that I would be nostalgic for if I were to have played it.
Hmm. Is that a primary factor?
That's one of those primary factors.
How nostalgic would you be if you had played it?
No. Sorry.
That's a minor factor.
It factors in.
It's not a
primary factor. It's not a primary factor.
It's a factor. Okay.
It's a minor factor and one of the primary factors.
Got it. A sub-factor.
Hmm.
Please continue.
Replayability. You know what? You know, this is... I had a lot of fun popping this on this week and shooting around in there the old TIE fighter, as I call them. I call them their official names, the TIE fighters. I don't know why everybody says TIE fighters. It's actually the TIE fighters.
Colloquialism. Do you know what that stands for? Don't look it
totally
up.
Totally in empires. Fighters.
Very close. Totally. It is a twin ion engine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Those twin ions, man.
So many second ions.
Guess. Second guess.
You got
totally
you got
an empire.
You got one ion and got your other ion.
Put them together, got yourself an engine.
All right, anyway. I did have a lot of fun popping this on, playing this. This is one of the games I do respect it. I see how it is a good game, and if I had more time and if I were younger, I would put in many more hours into this thing. Replayability is, you know, I think it's got some replayability. Even though the graphics are dated at this point, this is one of the early 3D games, which has problems of textures and pixelation and all that. But it you can see, you know, those Millennium Falcons and TIE fighters, TIE fighters, as they say, in the X-Wings, you can recognize it by it. You don't have to have too many pixels in there to know what you're looking at. But yeah, it's fun popping it on this week. So calculating those two primary factors in, I would put in a TIE fighter for the PC in at a 0.37 DuckTales.
Okay. That's surprisingly high.
Yeah.
I would have been. Good.
You guessed 0.23. I would have been shocked if you got this one. Just really? I think this was a really tough one to guess.
Oh,
it's a tough one because I do not have much experience with it. But I'm
the scores,
it.
Man.
As soon as you pop that pop awesome. It in.
Yep.
As soon as you see that Darth Man on the screen, you feel it.
That's just why I didn't go lower because I know you hadn't played it, but it's still a Swords, so. I don't know. Okay.
Hmm.
There it is.
Well then. Well, I have a regular feature, and it's called the Herzog Hierarchy, and this week it's coming in at a Herzog Funf.
What is that?
That's five.
Oh, okay. Right down the middle.
It might be the first funf you've given out, because I don't think I've heard you say that before.
Herzog. I normally don't give a funf, but I did this week.
I don't give a funf! Siege, don't give a funf!
And,
Hey, fellas, we don't need to mark this show as explicit, do we?
Oh, we might. I might break out a Schweinhund in a second.
No!
It's the,
Jesus. Beep.
This is a family-friendly show here.
It's the black sheep of the YPB family at this rate.
That's all we need.
But no, this is just middle of the road for me, where I don't particularly care for this genre, but I can recognize, you know, if this is your thing, this is probably much higher rated on your personal scale.
Yeah.
Like, if Huel had a scale where he actually rated the quality of the game, his rating would be good for this.
No one needs to hear that, though.
Ooh. It'd probably be like eight doggos or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Was there Yinglings?
Yeah.
Was there a Bork rating this week? You teased that last week.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he... Oh, hold on. He's He's looking at me right now.
Oh.
I'm doing a mind meld. Oh, he licked his lips. So I don't really know what he's thinking on this.
Seems like it could be lower on the Bork scale, just because it does have those blasters in there. It does have that Star Wars MIDI music.
I think that MIDI might not be too good.
Yeah.
Here's Borks. The problem with the Bork rating this week is that I played this game with my headphones in.
Oh.
So I know. So sorry, I didn't subject the dog to this game.
We'll just give it a not applicable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an NA.
Incomplete.
Incomplete.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. There's one the other day that he just did not care for, and I'm struggling to remember what it was. It may have been Tetris.
Were you playing next week's game?
It is
a Genesis game.
No, I don't think he's gonna enjoy next week's game at all.
I think I can predict that Bork reading. I'll send my prediction to Todd before you give it.
I actually don't know what. I don't remember what the spread of the Bork rating was, so I might have to give that a re-listen at some point. But for now, we should probably move along. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about this week's game?
No, I think we covered it pretty well. This is a solid game. If we're ranking the greatest Swars games of all time, this is one that is up there. I completely agree with it being a great game in the Swars oeuvre.
Yes, because you can't say canon. So
no, this one is not in the show, but it is one of the greats.
It's legend. It's a legends. It's a legends.
Huel, how about you?
One thing I did not mention is in those menus when you're popping around that spaceship, is the tech room, which lets you view the models for all the ships. And that is one I appreciated, as before I said I'd like to just look at the ships. And this is lets you literally look at those ships. So you can scroll through all the different fighty ships and cargo ships and battleships and all the other stuff, just the models for them.
Even the Empire has cargo.
It's true. Yeah. Gotta haul it around. Empire. So that's a fun addition.
Spin them around. Look at that. Look at them exhaust pipes.
You get to see the front of them, the back of them, the top of them.
Mm.
The upskirt.
You could go behind. You could go below. You could do whatever you want.
Well, we should move right along, though, to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any emails this week?
I do have an email, but we're going so long on all this Star Wars talk. I want to hold off my email. I want to get an ask in.
Well, not to spoil anything, I did not get an email. So if you want to use my time,
we're hitting the red line here.
Okay.
I want to get an ask in.
We do an ask.
I received an email though.
All right,
and it says, "Attention, you are screwed now, Parents Basement Podcast. ... That's the subject.
Got my attention.
And it says, do I have your attention?
Yes.
You are really screwed now, and you better read this. Your device was recently infected with a software I developed, and now you have a problem you need to solve because it has gone too far. You probably noticed your device is acting strangely lately. That's because you downloaded a nasty software I created, or you were browsing the pornographic website.
Oh, boy.
The software automatically won.
Which pornographic website?
It does not say.
You'll have to ask the show.
The software automatically, one, started your camera and begun recording you, uploading the footage to my server. Two, recording your device screen. Three, copied all your contact lists from mail program, Facebook, and your device chain. Four, started logging what you write. The problem is that it has caught you while you have been, it's a dirty word, and I didn't want to see that.
It's a family friendly show.
I now have the parentsbasementpodcast.mp4 file with you touching yourself to this hardcore stuff.
What is
ugly? Ugly, and then has a puking emoticon.
Oh.
Do you want
so
me to
how much do we have to pay?
This nasty software from your device and stop recording you? Do you want me to forget about this whole issue? I think $2,000 is a fair price for my asylum. I know you can handle to send me this money. It is enough for you for me to get lost. So how do you send the cash? Bitcoin. So.
Wow.
I mean, the show's doing stuff without our knowledge.
Did it get all three of us at the same time or what?
No, it caught your parents' basement touching themselves to this crude content.
Please, folks, click through that Amazon link.
We need some money.
There's a little bit more. It says, don't try to contact me. I'm using an untraceable email to deliver this message to you. I'm waiting for your cash. And don't forget the shame if you ignore me.
How do we contact them with the money?
Also, P.S. What's your favorite game with a springtime setting?
Oh.
Yeah.
So they're a fan.
That's a good ask. Yeah. We're getting into the springtime right now.
Interesting. Okay.
The snow's melting away up in Devil's Country where you guys live.
Uh-huh.
It's been out here in God's country.
We are without God. You are correct.
Yeah. So we're getting into the springtime. What's a good springtime game? Here's one of mine.
That is an impossible question. Like what?
One of my games that always reminds me of the spring and the flowers and all the life that it brings. Yoshi's Island. Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. I love all the running as Yoshi in that crayon drawn world.
Crowns.
And seeing all those giant flowers. Everything looks nice and blooming. Everything is in bloom, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I did have an answer. Mine, it's a little indie darling that we are never going to play. We have teased it a couple times, you know, and just frankly, you know, we just never got around to it. It's a little game called Sonic the Hedgehog. Where that first stage. It's very underground. I think it was for the Amiga.
It's going to be a long time till we cover that one.
Oh, definitely. Oh, the first stage is just very, very nice and green. It's a good little side scroller.
I don't know why, but for some reason, Braid came to mind.
Yeah, that one is everything is got a lot of plants in the backgrounds, nice and green, a lot of foliage.
Stuff with plants is what comes to mind when I think of spring. I mean, it's springtime setting. Like, I don't know if any game really mentions what season it is. Like,
it's either going to be like a harsh winter or a rough summer.
Yeah,
not much in the spring,
the desert or something. It doesn't really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You always got your Harvest Moons and your modern day Stardew Valleys with your seasons in it.
But, yeah, stuff like Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing, great for the seasons. Yeah,
sure.
But it's not a spring based game. It's more just a season based game.
New life.
Well, Todd, you teased it. Mm. Do we have an ask this week?
You know what? Somebody out there needs our help. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. All right, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. We'll help you out with those. And this one needs a bed of music, so I'm going to kick it off and then get into the question. All right, let's see if you can hear this. I didn't pre-screen this one, so I hope it sounds okay. Oh, it's got a long intro. Hang on. Now, gotta get this bed of music going.
Oh, the build-up.
Here we go. All right, so the subject of this ask is, Is this a good name? My name is currently Midnight Yachmech Le Estes.
Okay.
The middle name is pronounced Jamie Lee. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. However, I plan to add a second middle name to the one I already have. After I fill out the paperwork and go through court proceedings, I anticipate my new name to be Midnight Innocence Yachmech Le Estes. The word slash name Innocence is inspired by Enigma's song Return to Innocence.
Oh.
Regardless of anyone else's opinions, I will do whatever I want. I just figured I'd rather get some thoughts before I proceed on this.
Wait a minute.
So what do you think, guys?
Wait, regardless of anyone's opinion, I will do whatever I want. What are they asking us for?
And let me paste this. Let me paste this in here. So I want one of you folks to
Yachmed?
To read this one.
To try to pronounce it? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I see. Midnight Innocence Jamie Lee. Okay. Yeah,
oh,
that
so
is.
So she's named.
Because you said Jamie Lee is what they said it would be pronounced like.
The
so
middle name is pronounced Jamie Lee.
It's,
but it's spelled like some Klingon word. Yachmech.
It is G. Can you turn the music down? It's G E. G E A Y G H M E I G H dash Lee. L E I G H. So, some weird G H fetish this person has, along with loving the Enya ripoff band that wrote Age of Innocence.
Return to Innocence.
Sorry.
Come on.
Didn't we talk about that like four episodes ago?
Hey, I love that this video is just like some guy making a pot on a spinning wheel. That's what this video is.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
and, well, and I, like I can't shuffling dumb, cards.
Todd, I can't see it. You didn't turn your monitor around during our
live. Oh, yeah. So, I'm sorry. We each have our own computers here in the room.
Yeah, dude. So they're asking if they should just add this fourth name to their name? Because they're not changing their name. They're just adding to it, right? What was what was their name originally?
The original name is
they're gonna
Midnight
do it.
Midnight Yagmeg
Yagmeg
Estes.
Okay, so they're just adding innocence whether we say they should or not.
Regardless of anyone else's, including yours. I think that includes yours.
I would think so.
They this person will do whatever they want.
Okay. Wasn't it whatever the hell they want?
No, just whatever they want. I will do whatever I want.
Okay. I put a little extra spin on that unnecessarily. Sure. Do it. You love that band. You love that song. You love weird spellings. So, I mean, I think right off the bat, your parents didn't give you much of a chance here. So, anything else you do to this isn't going to really change that. So,
yeah.
I think you drew the short straw in this planet.
It's not like they're going to make you a manager at the Waffle House once you get that new middle name. So just if you want to do it, sure, go ahead.
I mean, it's a good song. It's a good jam.
I mean, it will make your it will make your initials Miguel, so that might help. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Can you play that music again, Todd? I was digging that.
Can we just end the episode with that? We don't need a Sifuru.
There's a unicorn running backwards in this video.
Wow.
There's some spoken word going on. Huh.
Oh, that's nice. Oof.
It's calming. You know what? From now on, you guys can call me Huel Innocence Hauser.
Ooh. You know, I'm not much of a fan of Enigma.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You
thought they sold out after his second album?
Yeah. After he went mainstream.
for sure.
Oh, were you gonna continue there or just?
Oh, you're
just not a fan. That's all you have to say.
Instead,
about that.
You're just gonna change your name to Todd Orinoco Flo Brisket.
I was gonna change my name to the
true weird ass song band. Yep.
Ooh. Sorry, I couldn't punch up my joke there.
So you just quit. You just quit on it.
Just quit.
Gotta bail.
Eject, like out of the TIE fighter.
Oh, into space.
Oh, we have fun. Well, we should move along here. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we wrapped up?
Yeah, just one more thing. You know, this game here, Star Wars, the TIE fighters. Star Wars, the TIE fighters. You had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Yeah. Well, I did mention at the beginning of the episode that's what you thought. So it's good to hear you repeat it at the end here.
Confirmation.
Yeah. Man, we haven't heard from President Donnie in a while. I hope he's doing okay.
What well, baby boys, it's your old pal, Donald J. Trump, otherwise known as the Prez.
The Prez.
Commonly known as the Prez. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Succeeding in these accomplishments will elevate you to greater recognition and status. Failure will bring more unpleasant results.
Oh. Well, that's not good. It's harsh, but fair.
Fair.
Yes. Well, here is a snifferoo from next week's game.
Power up.